till the end of the psalm. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way, and he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are through all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Amen, and the Lord will bless his inspired word. Eumenides was a Greek writer, and in 525, between there and 456 BC, this secular polytheistic Greek man wrote these words. The gods of Greek mythology were fickle and hypocritical. They violated the laws which they commanded humans to obey. They committed infidelity, they lied, and they promoted violence, and they displayed inordinate pride. End of quote. And that's so true. The stories or mythology of the Greek gods and the Roman gods, to add to that, these gods, they behaved like men and women, the men and women who made them up. Self-projection. We know it so well today, don't we? The gods of the Romans and the Greeks, if you know anything about the mythology or have ever heard or read about them, you know that they changed their mind all the time. Poseidon, the sea god, was known for his fickleness. It's totally changeable as the sea. None of these gods made up by men, none of them were dependable. None of them were moral, and none of them were even honest. Because they were just sinners. Because human sinners invented them. Thankfully, we are not here this morning to study the Greek gods or the Roman gods and the shady menagerie of all the soap opera gods made up by men. Because to do so, to study them, would be depressing and gloomy. It would be very much like watching a soap opera on TV. Because that's exactly how the stories go. And it would turn your watching a soap opera on TV or believing in the Greek or Roman gods, the same thing, they carry on the same way. That type of thing turns your brain to mush and seduces you into thinking that it's all right to behave like a barnyard animal. We're not here to study that at all. Not the ancient gods, nor the modern gods, because the modern gods are very much alive as well, aren't they? The modern god of science, which is not dependable, not moral, not honest, fickle, changes all the time. We are here to study the Bible, to find out about the only true and living God. And the first thing we notice is that he is nothing like the gods that men have made up. Nothing. He is. He actually exists. He is infinite. He is eternal. And he is unchangeable in his being, in his wisdom, in his power, and so on. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his justice. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his holiness and goodness and so on. What human being would ever make a God like that up? And the answer would be none, not ever. No hope. A God that doesn't change, a God that is reliable, a God who is steadfast, a God who is a law keeper, a God that doesn't lie. Man-made myths are changeable, fickle, and movable. The true God is not. Where would you like your home to be built? On solid ground or on sand or wobbly jelly that changes and moves all the time? Who would really build their faith, their trust, and their life upon a God that is fickle, a God that is a liar, a God that is a lawbreaker, a God that is unfaithful and changeable? Who would really build their faith and life on the likes of that? The answer is, no one who is rational or sane would ever do that. But who would want to build their faith, their life, their trust upon a God who changes not? A God who is steadfast. A God that is not movable. A God that is not a liar. A law keeper. He's a law keeper. He is faithful. Everyone who is sane would want their life to be built upon something, on someone that is solid and dependable. And that's what we're here this morning. And the subject before us is this: God, the God of the Bible, Jehovah, is unchangeable. And that's why he justifies our trust in him. He is unchangeable. He is dependable. Point number one, the meaning of unchangeable. Point number two, only God is unchangeable. And point number three, he never changes in any area. But firstly, the meaning of unchangeable. It says further back in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, in chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall not he do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? The word repent here means change his mind. It says the same thing, or a similar thing, in 1 Samuel 15 and 29. Emphasizing that the God of the Bible will not change what he has said. He will do what he has said. He will do what he has commanded. That's why I read from the Psalm 102. Look at verse 26 and 27 of Psalm 102. Talking about the earth, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yet all of them, the whole creation, shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end. All creation gets old, changes, and dies. But God remains unchanged. He remains the same. For eternity, God is the same. No change at all. Imagine someone that remains the same and never ever changes. Really is something. The more you think about it, the more you won't understand it. It's amazing. The Greek word is found in the New Testament in Hebrews and chapter 6. Let me read verse 16 to 18 of Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 16 to 18. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of the unchangeableness, immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Two immutable things, unchangeable things, God's purpose and God's promises, his oaths. Immutable. The word, Greek word, means immutability, fixed, unalterable. So God doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his purposes, his plans, what he has foreordained. He doesn't change his oaths or his promises that he has made. Every single promise in the whole of the Bible is like a check, guaranteed. God will fulfill everything that he has said. It's a promise. God is unalterable. He does not change in himself. He is fixed, unalterable. Raymond the theologian says, the one living and true God in his infinite being is perpetually the same and remains everlastingly the same as the great thou who changest not. Brachel, the Lord our God, is immutable both in his essence and in his will. God is immutable. He is unchangeable. He is altogether uninfluenced by the flight of time. There is no wrinkle upon the brow of eternity, says A.W. Pink. Eternity and everlastingly, God is the same. He never ages. He never gets old. He doesn't change at all. We change. We get more wrinkles as we get older, don't we? Our hair becomes more grey. Or else we get less hair. But it's a change from what we used to look like. Our knowledge changes. We grow more knowledgeable and wiser as we grow older. At least we all hope we do. We're meant to. We change in our attitudes. We change in our tastes. When I was small, I did not like peas. And I didn't like sprouts. And now I love them. That's a change, isn't it? Samuel, when he was small, he loved eating those wee jars of baby food, custard, and he doesn't like them now. There's a change. A change. We all change. But God does not change. No wrinkles, no grey hair, no increasing in learning or knowledge. He doesn't change in his attributes. He doesn't change in his tastes. He is immutable. I change not. He is just as he was. He's just as he is. He does not change. The Bible says so. And we can see why. His unchangeableness or his immutability is one of his incommunicable attributes. It's not communicated to us in any way. We cannot really understand how God can be unchangeable, because everything we know, everything we see, everything we touch, everything we are is subject to change. Even the heavens that we look at night, the stars, are subject to change. Everything we relate to changes. Even your granny, you remember your granny? You all remember your granny, your grandmother. She always looked the same, didn't she? When I was 5 or 6, she looked the same as when I was 30. Just sitting there in the chair, and you thought she was still the same. She looked the same when you were a teenager. She looked the same when I was in my 20s. She looked the same in the 30s. She always looked the same, sitting in the corner and making a wee cup of tea. But even she changed, didn't she? The one that you thought always looked the same. Because one day you were at her funeral and the chair was empty. It's the same with everybody that we know. I remember, I wouldn't say this if Samuel was here because it would make him sad, but one night when he was only 5 years old, he said to me when I was putting him to bed, "Daddy, what age will you be when I'm 16? I said, "Son, I'll be 47. I've passed that already, I'm 51 now. And he says, "And Daddy, what age will you be when I'm 36? I said, "Son, I'll be 67. He said, "What age will you be when I'm 67, Daddy? And he says, "I'll be 98. And he says, "Daddy, what age will you be when I'm 70? I said, "I'll be 101. And then for the first time in his life, he realized that things will change. And he started to cry and he says, "Daddy, you won't be 101 because you'll die." At 5 years old, changeableness or mutability impacted his mind. All we know changes. The dawning of change is something that affects us in our lives here on earth. It will affect us right to the end of our lives until we're in glory. The measure of unchangeability or immutability is God. No change. He is fixed. He is unalterable. You'll never have to say, "Goodbye, Lord." Never. Second point, the only one that is unchangeable is God. God doesn't change in his being, brethren, nor in any of his attributes. Concerning those verses I read from the Psalm 102, verses 26 and 27 specifically. I'll not read them again, but Stephen Charnock, the Puritan, says, "The text doth not only assert the eternal duration of God, but his immutability in that duration. His eternity is signified in that expression, 'Thou shalt endure.' But his immutability is signified in the expression, 'Thou art the same.'" End of quote. God does not change in his being or in his purposes. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Romans chapter 11 verse 29. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 to 20. God keeps his promises. All the promises in Jesus Christ that he makes are totally unchanged. No change. 2 Timothy 2:13. "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." He cannot deny himself. He doesn't change. If God has promised us something, he will not change, even if we do. Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same for all eternity. He is unchangeable, past, present, and future. But what about his incarnation, someone may say? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, surely there was a change there. Well, that takes us into another realm we do not fully understand, but we do know what the Bible teaches us very clearly, that Jesus Christ, God the Son, has two distinct natures. The divine nature and the human nature. He has a human nature which was subject to change. Change in his learning, change in his growth, his size, his height. He died on a cross and rose from the dead. Whereas his divine nature was and is not subject to change. He remains always the same, the God bit. But I don't understand, you may say, how one nature can change and the other nature stays the same, and a divine nature and a human nature can be separate yet in the one person. Neither does anyone. That is the wonder of the Son of God. He became a man with two distinct natures in one person. God does not change. James 1:17, God, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Look at a light bulb. Look at a torch. If you leave it on for an hour or two, it'll grow dimmer. The light bulb will eventually go out. Look at the stars. The stars, they twinkle. And that's been observed. Supernovas and so on. Stars burn out, explode, and die. The sun changes. All these things vary. They eventually will go out and pass away. But God is light. He's the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He is unchanging. No variableness. Even the stars twinkle, that's variableness. Well, it's seen through our atmosphere, but it's still variableness. God's light is constant. It's immutable. And this is our Father. Our Father. Malachi 3 verse 6. I am the Lord, in capital letters, the Tetragrammaton, Jehovah. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Three short lines giving the gospel, isn't it, in Malachi there? The greatest hope of God's people, yes, in the Old Testament, right up to the present day, until the end of time. God, Jehovah, that I am, that I am the Lord, I change not. And therefore, because of that, because God changes not, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's the gospel, isn't it? The gospel. Not because of our performance, not because of our works, not because we're better than anybody else, or they in Malachi's day were better than anybody else, indeed we're not. Not because of anything in us, but because God is unchangeable, we are kept. Because he said it. Christians, the greatest confidence you can have in the salvation which God has given to you is not your current performance, but your greatest confidence is the God in whom you trust. He doesn't change. He changes not his mind about you and me. Aren't you glad, as I am, that he's not like the Greek gods or the Roman gods? Who could depend upon them? He's not like any other man-made image. Because in light of my paltry performance, all those other gods might change their mind and think, you know what, he's not good enough. He's not faithful enough. But oh no, Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Our assurance rests solely upon the immutability of God. You'll not find that in books on assurance of salvation, but that is where our assurance is, the anchor of it is. Our assurance of salvation, the confidence that we will stand one day before the Lord in heaven, is simply for this reason: God does not change. And he said that whosoever believes in the name of the Lord shall be saved. God will keep us. God will keep us because of his character. If he's called you, has he called you to salvation? I pray he's called every one of you and everyone that's listening on sermon audio. If he's called you, he will keep you from that day he saved you from all eternity, and one day he'll bring you into his presence. Why? Because he's the God who will never change his mind. And if he said he'll do something, you can be assured he will do it. It's marvellous, isn't it? God, we know that he's unchangeable. Therefore, we can have confidence in our lives. Thirdly, he never changes in any area. He never changes his mind. He never changes his purpose. I put this in because of open theism. It's rife in our day. Not that any of you here are open theists, but it's around in some churches. So you know the answer to the question, to their error, really. God does not change in his being. God does not change in his promises. He doesn't change in his purposes. Ah, says someone. What about, now you give a couple of examples, but what about Jonah's words that God commanded him to speak? 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God commanded him to speak those words. Was Nineveh overthrown in 40 days? No. Why not? Because God changed his mind, some will say, in respect to their repentance. Rather, that is basic error. Very basic error. Spouted by people that don't know the whole Bible. Why is it error? Well, because of God's unchangeable decrees in Scripture. God foreknew all things. God had already decreed before Nineveh how he will deal with people and nations. God had already decreed that unrepentant sinners or individuals or nations, unrepentant sinners will be punished. God had already decreed repentant sinners shall be shown mercy. He has plainly in the Bible declared both of those truths. Both. God's immutable decree is repent and receive mercy. If you don't repent, you will receive judgment. The whole sacrificial system shows that in the Old Testament, doesn't it? Let me read to you from Jeremiah 18:7 to 10. Turn up Jeremiah 18. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation, against whom I have pronounced, turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at that what instant shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. God has declared both. God has already said both. The condition for blessing, the condition for judgment. He has declared both already. He doesn't need to change his mind. If he judges the unrepentant, or if he shows mercy to the repentant, there's no change of mind at all. He's declared, if you show mercy, I will show mercy. And if you, or if you repent, I will show mercy. And if you don't repent, I'm going to judge you. He's declared both. There is no change of mind needed. No change of mind. No change of purpose at all. That's always been in God's mind. Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If thou doest well, if thou doest not well, sin is at the door. He's declared both. How would God need to change his mind to fulfill what he said? There's no change of mind needed. See, many modern people, they make up these nonsenses because they haven't read their Bible. How could God need to change his mind when he's already said both? He's laid out the conditions. And he knows, of course, which one the people will pick. So there's no change of mind needed. God's purpose and mind do not change at all. He does not. He does what he says. And our repentance or lack of repentance doesn't make any difference to his mind. It just makes a difference to the consequences we suffer that he has already determined and stated. So God is unchangeable. Nineveh repented in sackcloth and ashes. And that's why the fire didn't fall in 40 days. God is unchangeable. The meaning of unchangeable? Unchangeable. Only God is unchangeable. Everything else changes. Even the stars and the earth, all the planets, they all change. Thirdly, he never changes in any way. He has never changed his mind. God has decreed. And his decrees are immutable. And he's decreed that all who are in Christ are his children. And he has decreed that all who are outside of Christ shall end up in hell. He has decreed both. I finish with this quote by Arthur Pink. Here is comfort. Here is comfort. Human nature Oh dear me. I'm now trying to read my writings. Getting difficult. Here is comfort. Human nature. Oh yes, human nature and goodness cannot be relied upon. But God can be relied upon. Amen. Brethren, thank you very much for your attention this morning.